honestly, I had no idea we were going to talk about what we talked about in Sunday school, a lot of it, but it kind of, the Lord just kind of meshed it into the message in talking about purpose and talking about eternal security and talking about things that are important. And, you know, we look around this crazy world and, you know, we look at this, you know, this is going on and that's going on and the other's going on and this could happen and this might happen and, oh man, one more year of Trump and this would have happened, 3 more years of Biden, this might happen. And you know, really, ultimately, none of that stuff's really important. I mean, it's really not. God's not surprised by it. He's not up there chewing his fingernails off wondering how he's going to take care of the mess that the presidents make or whatever. He's not worried about that. You know what God's worried about? He's worried about souls. Amen. He's worried about souls. He wants to see people saved. You know, John Calvin, he's a Bible believer now. He was all goofed up on some stuff, you know, thought God picked and chose who went to heaven and who went to hell. And I got a book right here. It says, God's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. That means he wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants everybody to realize they're a sinner and to repent and to trust Jesus Christ and go to heaven. And that's what's really important. That's what's really important. See, Jesus Christ didn't die for the United States of America to be the greatest nation that ever was. He didn't. He didn't die for Donald Trump to bring the economy back. He didn't die for Joe Biden to do whatever Joe Biden's doing. I don't even think he even knows. But he didn't die for that. He didn't die for Gateway Baptist Church to have a great name at Eaton. He died for sinners. He died to save souls. He died because he was laying his life down so he could take it up again and have victory over death, hell, and the grave so you and I could have eternal life. He died for that. There is a purpose for life, and it's not worrying about politics and worrying about, hey, you know, the Bible talks about the lilies and the sparrows, and consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin. The sparrows, they neither sow nor reap, and God takes care of them. You're a child of God. If he's taking care of the sparrows, you think he's going to take care of us? And if God wants to take care of you, what could any president, king, queen, prince, any man do to stop that? He couldn't do anything. You know, I mean, we get caught up in the things that concern the flesh so much, we forget that we have been given the greatest gifts, the greatest gift in salvation, and the greatest gift in eternal security, and the greatest gift in a King James Bible, and the greatest gift and be able to meet together as a church and encourage each other to keep on keeping on for Christ. You know, sometimes that encouragement means prodding each other a little bit, get us to get up and go. You ever want to sit down and quit? Get comfortable? Amen? God's still got a purpose for you. Amen? It'd be easier just to say, you know, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, and all that. Just go through the tradition and all that, and, you know, and just say, Lord, you got me, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But you've got a purpose, and your purpose is to glorify Him, like we talked about earlier. But your purpose also, it also encompasses works. I mean, your purpose is to get the message of the gospel to the lost, and to pray for those folks, and to pray for each other. That's what I love about Gateway Baptist Church. We got folks that pray for each other. I talk a lot about reading the Bible because I believe that is important. After salvation, prayer and the Bible are the two most important things you have. And without either one of those, you're going to get goofed up. But I thank God for a church that prays for each other. What a blessing. But the other part of that puzzle is reading your Bible. And you should be reading your Bible or listening to it on tape or whatever. You should get this book in you. You know, don't just don't go through the whole week trying to run on what you get on Sunday morning. You know, and get that book in you on a regular basis. And God will use you. He'll use you. And you're going to find out when you get to heaven, there were folks that, I believe this wholeheartedly, you know, a 98-year-old lady over here that, well, she didn't, you know, she showed up, she sat in the front row over there, she sat there, she didn't do a whole lot, and she couldn't do a whole lot, but she was faithful. And you're going to find out when you get to heaven, you're going to see a lot of people and you're going to wonder what they're doing, and you're going to be so busy wondering what they're doing, you're not going to be doing anything. And you're also going to find out in heaven that little lady sometimes is the one that's praying more than anybody in the church. that little lady or that little man or that young person. I've seen saved kids that pray more than a lot of the adults do. Amen. You say, well, boy, God really blessed the church. And maybe the rapture will happen, we'll all get called out of here, and there might be a little girl that gets all kinds of rewards because she prayed and God decided to bless the church that day in a way He's never blessed it. I mean, we've got the ability to get a hold of the God of Genesis 1:1. But see, what we lack a lot of times and what the little kids get is childlike faith. Childlike faith. But I'm going to look, by the grace of God, for just a few minutes. Yeah, Baptist preacher lie. Probably a little while. In Romans chapter 3 and see what the Lord has for us today. We'll start in verse number 1. But let's pray again before we do. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Please bless it today. Help us, Lord. We need You. We live in troubling times, but the biggest obstacle we have is getting past this flesh and realizing that there's a purpose for us and there's a call for us and there's a setting apart, a sanctification. You have a reason You've left us here. Help us to realize that and help us to have stability, faith. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Help us today, Lord. Build our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, it says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie into His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare the righteousness, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Makes it pretty clear. Crystal clear. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. I want to look at I don't know, 7-8 things. We'll see what we get. Maybe 5-6 things we go down through here, probably 5. It says, what advantage in verse 1 hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Thou mightest be the justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. First thing I want to see here is the book. The book. What advantage hath the Jew? Well, they were committed to them. They were committed the oracles of God. God gave him the script, gave the Jews the scripture. He gave them the scripture. Gave them the book. What advantage do they have? They have the book. They had the scripture. God gave it directly to them. They had the Old Testament law. God gave it directly to them through Moses. They had the scripture. It was given to his chosen people. It's about the book. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. God is truth. And Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ is true. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. And then we see John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The book. The book is so important. We talked about this earlier. Hey, I think you ought to pray. I don't like the question that Earl posed. I don't disagree with what he said necessarily. I just don't like that question because it's a tough question. If you had to choose between either praying or reading your Bible, what would you choose? That's a tough question. I believe you ought to pray before you read your Bible. So, I mean, how do you say you shouldn't pray over reading the Bible? You should pray before you read the Bible. That's tough. But this book, what advantage had the Jew? The oracles of God were given to them. What advantage has the Christian in 2022? To you are given the oracles of God. You got a book. You don't have to take my opinion for everything. Amen. You don't have to go to the Pope. You don't have to say, you know, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, the Holy Father, whatever. You know, you have to bend down to a guy wearing a dress calling himself a father and say, hey, what should I believe about this verse? You've got the oracles of God. He gave them to you. He gave you a Bible. He gave me a Bible. It's the book. You want truth. Why is the world so messed up? They reject truth. It's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know why most people aren't free? They don't know the truth. See, what's the truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible's truth. They reject that, and then they reject the Son of God. Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They don't know the truth. And they're all goofed up because they have no compass. They have no compass. The book. And then the bad in 8 through 18. We won't read it all, but it says in verse number 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. They were being slandered by, they were saying, look, they're doing evil trying to get a good result out of it. And that's bad. That's bad. There are churches all over the world doing that. I told you before, I'll tell you again about a friend of mine. He was a Methodist. He just happened to be a Methodist. I'm not kicking the Methodist church. If they're preaching the truth, they're preaching the truth. If they're not, they're not. I don't care what their name is. But he just happened to be a Methodist, and he was talking about the Baptists, you know, and he's talking about how, you know, the Methodists read the Bible and the Baptists study the Bible. And I thought, praise the Lord, we do study the Bible. We try to rightly divide that thing. I took that as a compliment. But he said, but you know, we can be too legalistic. He said, every once in a while, I like to go down and have a couple beers with the guys so I can tell them about Jesus. Well, that's doing evil trying to get good. That's wicked. They were accusing Paul and them. They were accusing the disciples of doing evil to get a good result because they were preaching something against their religion. But there are people all over the world right now, in the name of Christ, that are doing wicked things trying to make good of it. You know what God likes? You know what He liked when Moses walked this earth? He liked clean. He liked holy. He liked right. You know what he liked when Paul walked the earth? Same thing. Clean, holy, right? You know what he likes today? Same thing. He said, well, the world's changed. You have to reach them different. No, you have to reach them different. You just don't have any faith in the book. Because the book's what does it. And the Holy Spirit, you got no faith at all. If you think you have to do something worldly to get something spiritual to happen, Amen. You just don't have faith in God. And that's what's happened all around the world. People have, they've taken their faith in God and placed it into programs and certain setups and certain things. And if we have the building this way, if we have this going on this way, and if we, well, we could have a beer fest once a month, and then all the drunks would come in, and we'd just give them free booze. And I heard a guy, man, I don't even know if I should say that. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to hurt anybody. That meant good. But look, do right. You want God to bless you. You want God to, you want to see fruit. So I ain't seen anybody saved in a long time. Well, what's your life look like? I'm not saying that that's necessarily the reason, because we go a long time without seeing people get saved. But I mean, seriously, the first place to start is you. Am I living right? Did I quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Do I do that on a regular basis? Is God happy with me? Because in 2022, God still likes clean. Is there a sin that maybe, oh, it's not a big sin, the world would say, it's not a big deal. But a sin's a sin to God. Is there something between you and God that might be the reason you're not seeing the fruit? Or is there something between you and God that might be the reason you don't have the joy or peace you used to have? True, right? The book, the bad. You know what else he said? Oh, well, they're accusing us of doing bad and expecting good to come of it. And then you get down to verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know what the problem? We talked about this before. There is no fear of God before man's eyes today. I talk to them all the time. You know what they tell me? Well, if there is a God, let me tell you, there's a God. How do you know? Because this didn't accidentally happen. You say, well, some man made that. Not the tree. That tree didn't come from nothing. It came from God. Whatever this is probably made in America. It's probably old enough. Amen. Whatever this textile is here, it started with God. You say, well, it come off a press or a loom or something. No, the beginning part of it came from God. I know there's a God. Well, if there is a God, I just think that God is love and He'll take us all to heaven. They don't have any fear of God. And the reason people don't have a fear of God is because they have been taught there is no God, and even though in their heart, in the deepest part of their heart, they know that's a lie. They can pretend there is no God and go ahead and live like hell. And then those that believe there might be a God, which they know there's a God, there are no atheists. They're just people that lie to themselves. I guarantee you that. There are people out there that say, well, if there is a God, He's love, and I don't have to fear a God of love. And I've heard Bible teachers, not real Bible probably, but I've heard Bible teachers say, you don't have to fear. Fear doesn't mean fear. It means honor. No, it means fear. It means fear. When a pit bull comes out and he's going to chew my leg off, I don't honor him. Amen? Now when I get away, if I get away, I honor the fact that he could have chewed my leg off. But I feared him. And let me tell you something. If you just fear those that can injure the body and you're not worried about the one that puts your soul in hell or the one you're going to have to stand before at the judgment seat of Christ, you're a fool. Fear God. Keep His commandments, because it's the whole duty of man. I'm not talking about whether you can lose your salvation or not. I'm talking about whether we should fear God. And God, in Genesis 1:1, created the heaven and the earth, and God created, He caused a flood that killed everybody but 8 people. There wasn't like 9 people on the earth then either. There was a bunch. God caused that flood. God's going to come back and rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years, and after that, He's going to burn this place up. So why fear Bill Gates? Bill Gates can't find me. I can hide. You can't hide from God. Amen. You can't. There's no fear of God anymore. There really isn't. Oh, I bet you some of these people that lie to themselves go home at night and wonder, and they do have some fear. But when you talk to him, they'll tell you, God's just a big teddy bear. He's just going to wrap His arms around us all and take us to heaven. No, because if you reject the blood atonement of His Son, if you reject Jesus Christ, the God of love is also a God of judgment, and He'll judge your sin, and He'll cast you in the lake of fire for eternity. That's it. The world wants to complicate it. Well, you know, I want to get into philosophy, and I think, therefore I am, and maybe this, and maybe that. And if you look at the grand total of everything, well, the truth is, here's the grand total of everything. You're either lost or saved. You're either going to heaven because of Jesus Christ, or you're going to split hell wide open, and you're going to burn like bacon forever and wish you would have listened to the preacher, whoever it was that gave you the word. Whether it was a tract on the sidewalk, a TV preacher that happened to be telling the truth, or the pastor, or your grandma, or whoever. Amen? But the bad part is, everybody wants to do evil and try to call it good, expecting good, and there's no fear of God. Look at 19 through 24. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You see the beauty. So the beauty of what? Look at 19. The beauty of the law. You know what it says the law does? It makes all the world guilty before God. The beauty of the law is not that maybe you can keep it to get to heaven. The beauty of the law is it shows you you can't keep it. The beauty of the law is it shows you you're guilty. Now, if you don't know you're guilty, how are you going to get right? Well, how do we decide we're guilty? Well, we look and see what God says. And God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, you know, no other God before him. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. He goes all down through the list. And as you're checking off the list, hope you don't get all of them, but you're going to get more than one of them. You know what he says? If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. So the beauty of the law is not that it takes you to heaven. It points you to the one that will take you to heaven. That's the beauty of the law. And then we see in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the beauty of the Lord. So where do you get the Lord out of that? Well, that's witnessed by the law and the prophets. They point to Jesus Christ all the way through the Bible. They point to Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. They point to Jesus Christ. The beauty of the law is they point you to Jesus Christ. The beauty of the Scriptures, it testifies of the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. God's righteousness came down from heaven inside flesh out of the seed of David and walked this earth to Calvary. God's righteousness. And you know what he carried with him? Your unrighteousness. My unrighteousness. The beauty of the law is it points you to the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is he paid your sin debt. Amen? I'm not wondering if maybe I'm going to need a couple extra stamps on the envelope when I get there. I'm paid for it. Amen? There's not going to be if I go for my wife, the Lord's not going to send my wife a bill and say, well, he was just a little short. You know, 13 cents short is a lucky number. Amen? No, I'm paid for. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you are too. The beauty of the law is it points you to the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is he'll take you to heaven. 22 through 24 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The beauty of the law, the beauty of the Lord, now we see the beauty of God's love. You know what the beauty of God's love is? Right there. we look at that cross, we see there's some boards. And there's that purple, he's majestic, he's coming back. That cross is why God the Father sent his Son. The beauty of the love of God is he decided that he would sacrifice the most precious thing he had for us. You know what the most precious thing God has? His Word. Think about that. You know why it's precious? Because God is not a man that he should lie. His Word is right. His Word is holy. His Word is pure. You know what the most precious thing you have besides Jesus Christ having you? His Word. It's not my Word. It's not your Word. It's not the Pentecostal preacher's word. It's not the Pope's word. It's not the Church of Christ guy's word. It's not the any of the Assembly of God's guy's word? It's God's word. So, well, I go to a great church. What's the name? I don't know. We have a fun time down there, boy. We get that boogie on and we do all this stuff, you know. And we, well, they'll pass around the peace pipe or whatever they do at their church. You know, we got this. You ought to come down. Me and we have a time. Well, what does he preach on? I don't know. What was the lesson on Sunday? I don't know. What was the lesson on Sunday? Did we go Sunday? Man, you had such a good time, you don't even know if you went. I like to know we've been to church. You know how I know? Because God's footprint is usually on my rear end when I leave. Amen. It is. And he's going, get right. The book, the bad, that's attributed to man. The beauty of the law, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of God's love. Oh, man, here we go. 25, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. The blood. The blood. You guys got a bloody religion. I got bloody salvation. I was a bloody mess before I got saved, and I got bloody salvation. I got a book that talks about the blood. I don't want to take the blood out of this. We need more of the blood. We need to understand more about it. Acts 20:28 says it's God's blood. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 says we are redeemed by it through his blood. So I was redeemed by the cross. No, you were redeemed by the blood. It happened on the cross, and the victory was when he rose from the grave, but it was the blood. No blood, no salvation. You got a bloody religion. Well, no blood, no salvation. Well, it's the death of Christ. No, it's the resurrection too. No resurrection, no salvation. Amen. Romans 5:9 says we're justified by his blood. You know what that means? Simply, God looks at you, he looks at me, and he looks at us just if we'd never sinned before. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because he shed his blood on Calvary. 26 through 30, I don't know if we'll read all that. Let's see. Let's see where the Lord would have us to stop. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by the deeds of the law without, or justified by flesh, excuse me, by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yea, the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. You know what we want to see here? The blessed hope. God has saved your soul. One of these days, he's going to call us out of here. That salvation, that transaction will be complete. We talked about this last week. He has given you the earnest of your salvation when he gave you the Holy Spirit of God. He has made the down payment. And he's going to call us out of here. That salvation will be complete. I'm not saying you're not saved already. I'm saying that the transaction will be complete. Amen. We're looking for the blessed hope. That's what Titus 2:13 is talking about, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at that. We're looking for that. Today, hopefully, amen. Wouldn't that be good? I know you probably got something in the oven, right? You're going to go home and eat. But what if you got to the oven door? Well, I don't know who's going to get it, but it won't be us. What's wrong with religion? I've heard people all the time, you know, talk to them and say, I want to give you this and talk to you about it. A buddy of mine over in Missouri, I was talking to him online, and he said, oh, I'm not very religious. I'm not either. What's wrong with religion? Lack of faith. Well, what if they trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, but then they think they can lose it? Well, if they thought that when they trusted him, they never really trusted him. Well, what if they decided afterwards, somebody come along and they start thinking that? You got a lack of faith. Look at Romans 3:25. Who God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now listen, the lack of faith that religion has is faith in his blood. Think about it. Look at Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Listen, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, that's forever, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So what's the lack of faith then? It's the lack of faith in the blood. The lack of faith. There's a lack of understanding and there's a lack of faith. And if you think that, if anybody thinks that you got to get saved by your works plus Jesus, you don't have any faith in the blood. And if you think you got to get saved by Jesus and then you got to keep it by your works, you don't have any faith in the blood. Look what it just said here. The blood of bulls and goats. What did the blood of bulls and goats do? The blood of bulls and goats covered them for a year. It covered them for a while, but it didn't take the conscience and clean it up. They were still guilty. God was just saying, hey, I'll take that sacrifice for right now. You know what it said about the blood of Christ? It's able to purge your conscience of sin. You know what it does? It cleans you. You know what I remember about getting saved? So I remember the time, I remember the place, I remember the exact word. I don't remember all that. You know what I remember getting up? For the first time in my adult life anyway, feeling clean. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleaned me up. So did you understand all that doctrine? No. I just trusted Christ. And if you're gonna be saved and you're gonna be secure about it, you're not gonna lose your mind and wonder if you're going to hell all the time. You have to read the Bible and read about the blood. Think about it. If the law and the blood of bulls and goats could get you to heaven, you think God would sacrifice his own son? I mean, I love you, but I wouldn't sacrifice my own son anyway. Amen. That would be a hard thing. But why would he do it if it wasn't the only way? It was the only way. It was the only way. But he did it for you. He did it for us. Faith in his blood. Lord willing, I'm not trying to be presumptuous here. Lord willing, here soon we're going to close out and we'll probably pray together. And then we'll all head to our separate houses, hopefully and prayerfully. We'll all, if the Lord doesn't call us out here together, we'll all make it to our houses. We'll all sit down. We'll eat lunch. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to go through things. We'll probably hear things. We'll probably be discouraged a little bit off and on today. Things, who knows what's going to happen between now. But tonight, when I go to bed, I'm not worried about hell. And look, I have flesh too. I might worry about tomorrow, which I shouldn't, and you shouldn't either. I might have something come up, and I go, what am I going to do? I'll have to worry about that tomorrow, and then I'll think about it for a while. But when I close my eyes tonight, I'm not worried about hell. I say, well, you must think you're better than everybody. No, I'm my face in the blood. The spotless Lamb of God shed his blood for my eternal redemption. It wasn't part-time, it was permanent. Eternal redemption. You know why the devil don't want you to understand or have every word of God? Because every word matters. Right. And that word eternal matters. I love that word eternal. As a saved man. But look, if you're here lost, you better fear God and you better take heed to that word eternal too. Because without Christ, there's an eternal fire you'll spend your eternity in. Say, well, I just hope I'm good enough. No. I know He was good enough, and He is good enough, and His blood was more than enough. The book, the blood, the blessed hope. They've sang songs about that, amen. I believe in the blessed hope, the book, and the blood. I don't remember the words to it. They sing songs about that. How many songs you ever heard about Pope John or Mary or Muhammad? I don't know what they sing. I can't understand their language. They might have a song or two about him. You know how many hundreds, how many thousands of songs were written about Jesus Christ? You know why? Because He lives in the heart of man when they trust Him as Savior. And He does that to people. He took a woman like Fanny Crosby that the world look at and say, well, we got no use for you. And He used you, He used her more than He'll probably use most any group of 10 Christians in 2022. A blind woman singing about seeing Jesus, asking Him not to pass her by. Song after song after song after song after song. You know what she had faith in? The blood. She knew she was going to heaven. She didn't think she was sinless, I guarantee it. She had faith in the book and had faith in the blood. So, well, that'll take you quite a ways. That'll take you all the way to the end in God's will. Faith in the book and faith in the blood.